be busy. We are going to talk about the spike protein this first half of this next hour. Maybe a little more, we'll see. And I just would like all of you to remember back. In fact, I'm going to go just pull this up again. Why not? Dr. Chetty, Shankara Chetty of South Africa, and his remark about the spike protein. I wish every doctor who had access to people on the internet would say the same thing that Dr. Chetty said. He was absolutely on the money. And let me find this. I'll play it here. All right, while Jeff is looking for this, let's say hi and welcome back to Erica.
Hi, Jeff. Happy Monday.
What you been doing?
Oh, a little of this, a little of that.
I hope it pays well.
I get by.
This dilemma we're all in has been set in motion so well, the planning was so extraordinary, that probably 4 billion people are, let me rephrase this, 4 billion people have legitimate reason to worry about their safety and well-being if they've been shot up with this stuff. It is diabolical the way it works. And the more I talk to Erica, the more research she does, the more things she turns up, which open the door to even more ways that the spike protein can kill. It's just truly an amazing thing. I don't know who designed it, and I know we have the ability. I have my own personal feelings that somebody might have gotten some help from even off-planet sources. I don't know. But there are so many primary avenues down which the spike protein can travel once it gains access to your body and kill you. It's not funny. I mean, it's truly an amazing thing. Amazing.
It almost seems like it was designed to be foolproof for its intended purpose.
Yes, but all the fools are getting the shots.
It's amazing. Technically,
you're right. Technically foolproof. 4 billion people taking it because they had faith and trust in their governmental overlords, wherever they live. It's just crazy. Go ahead, please.
Well, we're going through the same thing with the release of this Novavax, and it's not here in the States yet, but it is available on a limited basis in Canada, definitely in Australia, and I believe parts of Europe right now. But people are clamoring for it the same way they did when the initial mRNA vax came out. There was a certain percentage of the population that couldn't wait to get these things.
They were being fueled by fear, and it's true.
Yeah, and this belief that their own immune systems are incapable of handling this. It's really the disempowerment of the average person in terms of believing that they have the ability to take care of themselves and make good choices for themselves. There's zero confidence. Everything has been handed over to the controllers, the authorities, the government, the TV.
The TV. That is the government. That is the
It
authority.
Is now.
Sure it is.
Whatever the TV says, they do.
Okay, our first portion, we're going to get into the Novavax in the second half hour. But don't forget what Erica just told you. People are clamoring to get it, and we'll go through it again. We did last time, but we have more to add. There are already now many people complaining of very bad injuries and side effects, which is a term that really shouldn't even be used when you're talking about a bioweapon. But they are being injured and harmed, and we'll be discussing that in the second half hour. Actually, we have enough to do 2 hours. Let's see here. All right, I'm going to play this again, and I know some of you will say, ah, not again, but it's important. This man speaks the absolute truth, and he did so in November of last year. At least that's when this video was posted. So let me play this for you again.
Pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction, spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it.
Okay. Words that should not be forgotten, and we have this up on the site, and many of you have been watching it and passing it around. Now, let me go to the homepage here and make sure that I've got that. Have you seen, is our new page up there? Let me look and guess here and make sure it's up. I want everyone to be able to pull this up and follow along. Okay. Yes. Look under Jeff and Erica, hour number 2, in guests. There's one link, okay, under our names there. It says the incredible diversity of death caused by the spike protein. And what we've done is just kind of put our heads together and created this page for you. First of all, it gives you a real good view. It's a cross-section, so to speak, of the coronavirus and the spikes on it. So take a look. It's all labeled. It's very nice. And then we've written some little introductory material below it. And then put and included 7 primary pathways that the spike protein can waltz down and just destroy you. 7. Now, there are more. You know what we didn't put? We should have put the 8th one would have been the epitopes.
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with the
cytokine. Yes, yes. And ADE.
Well, the autoimmune, that's part of the autoimmune response. That once you begin making antibodies to this spike protein, those same antibodies can go on to attack your own tissues.
Right.
And there's many. There's just so many that are cross-reactive.
It's crazy. Well, we should include that then in the first one. If you look down on the page, and again, it's the link under the second hour in guests, click and open that. And do share this if you care to. It's certainly up there for that reason. The first one is AIDS, total immunological collapse and failure. Total immunological collapse. You have no immune system once you've been injected with, unless you got lucky and got saline. But most people who have been injected have had at least 2-3 shots now. Some are working on number 5, so they're not going to get saline 5 times or 4 times. If you get it once, you'd be lucky. We think the boosters are actually much more concentrated and designed to take out those who otherwise might have skated by for a longer period of time. These boosters are bad news from what we can understand. So AIDS. I'm not talking about HIV, so don't think homosexual, don't think HIV, not yet. They're going to try and bring that out and use it as the excuse as to why billions of people are suffering from complete AIDS, immunological collapse and failure. And what happens when that occurs is a horror show that is very difficult to talk about, frankly. It's just that deadly. And it includes autoimmune, as Erica said. So go ahead, let's jump into this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, part of the reason the immune system is getting destroyed is the spike protein interferes with well, interferon, which is an antiviral response that would protect your cells against invading viruses or other pathogens.
You were the first person to mention that, by the way, on this
program.
Well,
that was written about when the virus was unleashed and doing its thing. It was known that people that had a deficiency in interferon, type 1 interferon, were more susceptible to having more severe disease with this particular virus.
Sure.
And it's known that a large percentage, maybe 30% of the population, has autoantibodies against their own interferon. So they have a reduced level of interferon from that. But the virus itself, that's one of its strategies for evading immune detection. It shuts off your cells' interferon production. So
turns
it does that naturally.
Off.
But now...
Got
yes.
It.
So, but the spike protein, it turns out, can do the same thing, and it too, possibly, this is yet to be confirmed, but it's theoretical at this point, cause your body to make autoantibodies that will destroy your interferon after being exposed to the spike. And
when you say autoantibodies, describe that a little bit more.
That means your own immune system will begin, it will start to see your interferon as foreign and go after it as if it were foreign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can produce it all day long and your immune system will just destroy it as it's produced. And the same thing, it appears to be happening with the killer lymphocytes, also known as CD8 cells. Those appear to be under attack, too, by the immune system. And that's a critical. That CD8 cells are needed to identify cells that have become cancerous or cells that may be harboring other viruses or intracellular pathogens. So without CD8 cells, you're in trouble.
How does the spike protein turn your body against its own CD8?
The epitopes that are in there.
Uh-huh.
Or
okay.
Just the persistence of this spike or the mRNA that's generating the spike inside of these cells that are being trafficked to lymph nodes and germinal centers throughout the body. Similar to AIDS with the CD4 cells. I mean, that's your body is destroying your CD4 cells when you have HIV, and that's why you become immune suppressed over time. And there's some question as to whether or not it's doing the same thing to the CD4 cells, the spike protein. This is bad news. Wherever that spike ends up, and there are many different components of the immune system, the body could be provoked into attacking it, destroying it.
So there's an epitope for the CD8 in the spike. That's what we think.
Possibly, or just the persistence of that spike... In the CD8 cells. I mean, the CD8 cells are tasked with provoking the immune system to recognize that pathogen, but if it's persisting in the CD8 cell, it's going to get destroyed.
Wow. Okay.
This is a very, very dangerous protein. And
whoever
the fact
thought
that,
this... Go ahead.
Well, just the fact that now we've got the genetic sequence that's programmed the cell to produce it indefinitely, that's a disaster.
We now know that this
mRNA is active and producing protein, the spike protein, for 8 weeks, possibly more.
Well, that's how far they've tracked it out. So this point in time...
Yeah, they just happen to stop at 60 days.
We don't know that it doesn't, in fact, continue to produce it as long as you're alive. We don't know. We're into uncharted waters here. So, in other words, the longer you produce the spike protein, the slimmer your chances for longevity are. And the spike protein does so many things. Look, we've got... 2, 4, 6, 7 listed, and they're pretty inclusive. But we're just looking at the first one. This is the first, we'll call it a pathway or an avenue or a superhighway to destroy your life. Okay? That's the first one. Anything you want to add to that? And we'll go on to the second one.
No, that's fine. Yeah, keep going.
Okay. Now, our bodies have two or three primary items to suppress cancer. That's how we escape cancer, for the most part. P52 is one protein, gene.
P53.
And the other one is a blastoma of some kind? Isn't
retinoblastoma. There's a few, but P53 is the major one. Major.
All right. So Joe Smith and his wife go out and both get injected, and their bodies begin to produce spike proteins almost immediately. How quickly will the spike protein inactivate, deactivate, or destroy the P53 and the blastoma and any other key frontline defenders against cancer? Do we know how quickly that happens?
I would think it's within the hour. I mean, that protein production gets started right away. I think it peaks around 1 or 2 days. You're really churning it out at 1 or 2 days. But the thing is, the spike protein will migrate to the nucleus of the cell and bind to genes involved in DNA damage repair, one of which is the BRCA1, and the other is the P53. So if those pathways are crippled, you're not going to be able to repair the breaks that you have, the damages in your DNA on a daily basis. So you set the stage for cancer right there. And then secondarily, they found that the S2 portion of the spike protein will actually bind to the P53 in the cytoplasm of the cell. So the cell will not get the signal to commit apoptosis or suicide if it's been damaged and needs to be eliminated.
Okay.
So those two right there are major.
Huge. All right. So what we have is a loss of our body's innate, your God-given ability to keep cancer in check. That's gone. That's part of the collapse of the immune system. If we're talking about total immunological collapse and failure, which we are, and remember the German study, everyone, I think I forgot the group, 60, 70 people, I don't know. Everyone in that group who had two shots had only 12% of their immune system left. And that was at the point of testing each one. We don't know 2 weeks later if they might have had 1% left. We don't know. The bottom line is the immune system is a target for this synthetic, diabolical killer. And once the immune system is on its knees or otherwise disabled, broken, or only partially functional, the door is open for almost anything a scientist could imagine that would do harm to the human body that is otherwise kept down and destroyed by your immune system. If you have no immune system, you don't live. So we have an explosion of cancer now that Erica talked about. I remember when you said it. You said we're going to have an epidemic of cancer, it looks like. And we have an explosion of cancer. Cancers of all types. If you had cancer 5, 10 years ago and you're fine and you get shot up with this crap, expect a return. You may get brand new cancers because the P53 and so forth are taken out of the game. As Dr. Blalock said, we're going to see cancers that we've never seen before. And all this is coming to pass.
The other thing the spike protein does is it will bind to the toll-like receptors. Now, the toll-like receptors are, again, another key component to communicate with other cells or the immune system to let the immune system know that something's wrong with this cell. And if that's taken offline,
right.
Runaway cancer.
Okay, we've only talked about two areas, and very briefly, we haven't gone into many great depth, but I hope all of you understand that these are major, major issues. Now, the next one is sterilization of human beings. And this became apparent, at least the concept that there was a problem with reproduction after you've been injected, almost immediately. Women began having extraordinary bleeding problems, so much so they called them hemorrhaging in many cases. Tell us more about the destruction of male and female organs and reproductive systems. How does the spike do?
Well, it's now, the spike protein does seem to have an affinity for ending up in the testicles. Possibly the ovaries. I mean, we know the lipid nanoparticles do get trafficked to the ovaries. I don't know if the spike itself, as if, you know, attached to the virus, has that same affinity. But regardless, they're the homology with the epitopes that are in the spike protein there's an inordinate amount of human proteins in the female reproductive system that will cross-react. Was it 27 out of 41?
Yeah.
That they identified in the spike protein, just in the female reproductive system.
And there are hundreds and hundreds more epitopes that have yet to be fully identified and made public or made available. An epitope is a little section. Well, you explain what it actually physically is and how it looks like something that would appear naturally in a healthy ovary. It's actually just a portion of that.
Yeah, it's just a sequence.
DNA.
It's the smallest sequence of peptides, protein, that your immune system could recognize as foreign.
And mistake it as something that
if it's similar enough
ovaries,
they'll
attack it.
If you provoke it enough and it loses that ability to determine whether it's friend or foe, then that sets the stage for autoimmune disease.
So somebody put, when they designed this thing, they put hundreds of epitopes in it. We don't know what they're all relating to, but we do know that 27 of 41 do relate to the real deal in the ovary. They're just remember a portion, and it tricks your body into attacking that portion in the spike protein and the entire portion in the ovary.
Well, it wouldn't just have to be the ovary. It's anything having to do with female reproduction. It could be the placenta.
Understood.
It could be the uterus.
Yeah, understood. This is a sterilization tool, this hideous virus, and its killer protein, the spike protein. Sterilization. That's what it's about. Okay, let's take a look at yet another fun one. Clotting and hemorrhaging. Okay? Clotting from the spike protein is abnormal. It is not like a normal blood clot at all. And it is resistant to degradation. It's very durable. So if you get a drug that's supposed to dissolve or help dissolve a clot, it's different. It's not the same structural profile. It's weird. You've seen pictures of
well,
them. Some of them are 3 feet long.
Yeah, that's the end result. That's the fibrin, I guess, that's left over after this stuff. They're abnormal because they contain misfolded proteins, red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets. The minute the spike protein comes into contact with various components of the blood, it starts the clotting cascade. And it's almost instantaneous. They're very, very top-heavy, I would say, with fibrin, which is, that's supposed to form a matrix or a mesh when you're wounded.
Got it.
And then, it would
that's
have
what
a,
stops the bleeding and a cut, so to speak.
Correct.
And then upon that, the scab forms and you build new skin and you're okay. The spike protein gets in the way.
Yeah, and so you've got protein in there, misfolded protein, aggregated protein that makes it very durable and resistant to breaking down. So when it comes time, after the clot has done its job, the enzymes that are supposed to break it down can't do it. So the clot just kind of grows on itself.
Now, remember, spike proteins we believe, go head to foot, toe to fingernail. They're everywhere. There's nothing to slow them down. They go right through the blood-brain barrier into the brain, and we're going to talk about that in a minute or two. There's just no limit to the damage that this horrific protein does. And it does it beginning immediately upon injection. It doesn't wait a week or a month.
Yeah,
it goes
why
to work.
There really isn't a safe vaccine when you're dealing with injecting people with this spike protein. If it comes into contact with the blood, it's bad news.
It will go right to your brain, your heart, your liver, lungs, you name it. Okay, systemic fibrosis, another pathway for the spike protein to destroy a living, healthy body.
Well, that would be the scar tissue that forms after after the spike protein does its damage, which results in an inflammatory response, and then this fibrin gets laid down to repair the damage, and it becomes, it's scar tissue, essentially. It's not normal tissue. If it happens in the heart, you're not going to have a normal heartbeat, heart rhythm. The electrical conductivity of the heart will be compromised.
I wonder if this
if it happens in the brain, you can just imagine.
Yeah. This may trigger an increase in pacemaker installation for people.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of things. Okay. We're going to breeze through these next two because we want to talk about Novavax. A lot of people are very interested in that, thinking it's a safe way to go. Uh-uh. No, not. We're talking about the spike protein here. And if you go to the second link under the second hour, actually it's the first link under the second hour in Guess, you'll come up on the page that we're looking at. Neurodegenerative diseases. This is particularly diabolical and evil and demonic in my view because it brings prions or CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, right up into the front line of death and deadly additions to the body. Amyloid deposits, which relate to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS, and so forth. So you've got CJD, VCJD, which is variant CJD, NVCJD, new variant CJD. They have a number of different profiles that come from prion misfolding. That's in the human brain, which creates holes in your brain. And this is something that nobody knows about. Would you please explain how the actual spaces appear in your otherwise full of tissue brain? All of a sudden you've got a hole in it. How does that work exactly?
Well, that is transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, where the brain starts to look like Swiss cheese at the end. And it's slightly different from these amyloid deposits, as with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, the Lewy bodies. With the prion disease, the actual prion protein, what it will do is it will kill the neuron, and the neuron will just die, and in its place there's a hole. And because it's infectious, it's known as an infectious protein, it causes a chain reaction so that the next protein begins to misfold and does the same thing, and in its wake, the destruction just it leaves a hole.
How does the spike protein introduce prions to the brain? What's the trick? In simplest terms,
there are binding sites on it that when they come into contact with your proteins will cause them to misfold.
So my proteins would misfold because of a spike protein.
If it sticks to that site.
Right, got it. And then it's a domino effect, a cascade.
Yeah, it's progressive.
And just off to the races.
There's no treatment for it yet. I mean, I've read some, there are some things that can maybe hold off the apoptosis part of it, maybe preserve the mitochondrial function for a little bit, but ultimately it's fatal. I mean, you can maybe delay it a little bit, but this is a vicious, vicious disease.
So the transmissible spongiform encephalopathies prions, used to be called BSE when it first came out, bovine spongiform. Prions cause CJD, and there are, again, different variants. There's a paper that we have up or will have up about this. Very interesting. We're going to spend more time on this in the future. These prion diseases, this prion potential, seems to be one of the most ferocious aspects of this killer protein.
Yeah, and the fact that it's aerosolized, so...
Okay, now,
I don't know
all
how
of
anybody
you,
can be casual about this.
I understand. When you go out and you're in a room full of people, that's what she's talking about. It is potentially something that you need to think about if you're going to live long, that there, you're around people who are spewing prions into the air, and you're inhaling them, and they will go into your lungs and into your blood, and then they're unstoppable.
Well, yeah, wherever they go, they go.
All right. Cytokine storm and ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement. This is hypersensitivity to the spike protein, which we're talking about. This is our last little segment on this, and then we'll jump over to Novavax. So tell us what you have to say about cytokine storms and ADE.
Well, this is the result of becoming sensitized to this protein. In a way, I would say maybe like bee venom. When somebody becomes allergic to bee venom.
Sensitized, you meaning know, you're allergic to it. You have,
yeah,
a negative reaction
has,
to it. Okay.
Yeah, they've made a particular class of antibodies so that in the future, when you're exposed to it again, you're going to have a really hypersensitive inflammatory reaction, and that can lead to a cytokine storm in the case of coronaviruses. So that's what they mean by antibody-dependent enhancement. The antibodies are not protective. They actually begin a very, very inflammatory response that's detrimental. It's really the immune system that goes crazy that does the damage.
Now, remember, this has been stated so well by Dr. Chetty. I put the quote up. It's right under the illustration on the page we're looking at. The spike protein, said Dr. Chetty, is what the vaccine is supposed to make in your body. But the spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. And with no immune system left, people will be dying of literally hundreds of different fatal diseases. So there's plausible deniability by the vaccine makers. Well, he got cancer. We didn't have nothing to do with the vaccine. Au contraire. So just keep that in mind. Keep this page printed out and refer back to it. And just understand the dangers of the spike protein. Now, imagine, if you will, somebody designs a vaccine that contains no mRNA, no adenovirus. It just contains nothing but spike proteins. Why would someone do something like that? Are they nuts?
Well,
your turn.
That's
Novavax is nothing but spike.
Nothing but spike, yes.
Think about that.
They're going off this, and I don't know if they just didn't do their homework or didn't get the memo. They believe that the spike protein is harmless. But what they don't understand is, okay, we know it's not harmless. The Salk Institute first came out with that statement or study back in April of last year. And it was already being talked about prior to that. But, you know, when something is pronounced by the Salk Institute, people ought to take notice. The spike protein is biologically active. You don't need the rest of the virus to do damage. And that often is the case with many viruses. It's the proteins that the way they interact with the immune system or various organs and tissues that are really the problem. And in this case, we have a really hideously toxic protein, potentially lethal protein, and somebody figured out that it'd be a good idea to just inject it into people and have them make antibodies to it, as if these antibodies are going to be protective. No one's established that yet. The antibodies may not be the correlate of protection in this virus. That's an assumption, and jury's still out. Time will tell. But just for the record, the antibody response in coronavirus infections has never been the correlate of protection. In fact, it's been detrimental in every animal model studied to date. So why we would think it would change now?
But it's safer, Erica. Everyone wants the Novavax. It's safer. It doesn't have that nasty mRNA in it.
Well,
it's safer.
The adverse events are pouring in.
Let's read one or two. I've got four you sent over. You still have them?
Yes.
Okay. I'll start with number one. You go two, and we'll.
I think did we already read number one last Friday? Yeah.
I think we might have.
No. I think this is a different one. Yeah, this is
I'm
a different one.
It.
Okay.
Okay. I don't remember this part. Okay. All right. First dose of Novavax, this particular individual, I don't know where he posted it, but first dose, day one. Symptoms started 3 to 4 hours after the shot. Mild headache. Triggered my pre-existing tinnitus. 6 on a scale from 1 to 10. Only lasted that day. Back to baseline after 8 hours of sleep. Mild body aches. Fatigued. Mildly sore arm. Site of injection, I would assume. That's the first dose, day one. Day two, fatigued. Day three, back to normal. Day four, a little phlegm around the bronchial system for a day. And remember, this is Novavax, which is nothing but spike protein. Second dose, 21 days later. Day one, no symptoms or side effects on the day of getting the second shot. Day two, woke up with manageable symptoms, headache, triggered pre-existing tinnitus on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 5, body ache, sore arm, took 500 milligrams of
paracetamol.
I was close.
That's otherwise known as Tylenol.
Day 3, felt quite good most of the day, but in the evening, tinnitus, dizziness, headache, woke up at 3 a.m. with raining ears. What the hell are raining ears?
I don't know if that's a misspelling. Maybe ringing ears?
Raining. Let's say ringing, because he mentioned tinnitus. We'll give him that. Okay, took 500 milligrams of Tylenol, acetaminophen.
Yep.
Day 4, feeling okay, except still dealing with tinnitus, sporadic mild headaches, and occasional dizziness. Took 500 milligrams of Tylenol. Booked an appointment with an ENT doc to check out the tinnitus and headache tomorrow morning. We'll report. Here's the report. Day 5. Went to a tinnitus specialist today, and he ordered a bunch of tests. It's going to take a while to get them all done. In the meantime, I went to a general practitioner, and he immediately dismissed my headache and tinnitus as imagined nocebo effect. What the hell's nocebo? Do you
placebo.
Know?
Placebo. Placebo, well, nocebo.
It doesn't even have a PL in it. All right, as imaginary. How's that?
Yep.
He dismissed my headache and tinnitus as imaginary. He said I was just scared. Oh, I was angry on the inside, but I didn't show it. I guess there are doctors that just categorically dismiss any critical experience related to a vaccine. I didn't even say my tinnitus was caused by the vaccine. I said it triggered it. He still completely dismissed it. It was unreal. Well, at least I have a specialist who is looking into it now. Never mind that stupid GP. I'll never go back to him. So there's one, okay? Not particularly horrifying, but it's nonetheless a registered problem with Novavax. All right. Number two is you.
Okay. Another first dose experience. First off, any hate will be blocked and ignored immediately. If you don't have anything better to do other than troll strangers online, I suggest you think twice about that and go and bother someone else, because I don't have time for that. I will not tolerate any snarky comments or trolling, so anyone looking for attention won't get any on here. I know you wouldn't speak to anyone in real life like that, so don't say it at all. Okay, I, female 20, know I should probably wait a week to write this, but I just got my first dose around 3:20 p.m. It's now 4:25 p.m. where I'm from. I've noticed my head feels quite heavy and my ears feel blocked, like that feeling you get when you're on an airplane. I feel dizzy and like there's pressure in my temples and around my eyes. I'm also hearing a high-pitched noise, which I think is tinnitus. My throat also tightened up a bit and felt like there was a lump in there. It is still swollen and feels uncomfortable, but I'm just waiting on it to go away at the moment. I just talked to my auntie, and it sounds like I have a sore throat or a cold. I don't want to scare her, so I haven't said anything. My arm definitely hurts after getting the shot, but it's okay now, just a bit achy. Honestly, I don't think I'm going to get my second dose after this, because it seems like I'm allergic to it. I only got it because I couldn't get a job or go anywhere with these mandates, and I thought Novavax would be a bit safer than Pfizer. I'll update as the week goes on if anyone's interested.
See, there we go. People are thinking Novavax is safer. Novavax
yep.
is nothing but spike protein. Probably trillions of them.
Yeah, yeah. And
trillions.
It's nano. I'm there's some discussion to people believing that this is going to stay at the site of the injection. I don't know why you would think that.
Well, you're not thinking, that's why. There's something called a circulatory system. Capillaries on up, and anything that's put into the body is going to be picked up by capillaries, blood vessels, and moved. It just goes.
And it's nano.
It's so tiny.
The spike protein itself is, I believe, 15 nanometers long. And these particles, it's complex with this matrix M adjuvant, the particle is estimated to be about 40 nanometers. Anything under 100 nanometers, it's not going to stay in the injection site. It's going wherever it goes.
I think the spike protein was, I'm just going to round it off, 5 wide by 15 long. I think you're close. Just to give you an idea, it's a little bit of a rectangular shape in a loose sort of way. It's so small.
It's kind of like a pyramid, an upside-down pyramid, sort of.
All right, here's some more. So for all of you people out there who are thinking, Novavax, it's safer, please don't think that. Do your research. It's too new. 2 cases of confirmed immune-mediated myocarditis already. Hey, guys, according to this evaluation by European authorities, there have been 2 cases of myocarditis due to Novavax, which were ruled to be due to the vaccine in studies already done. Both affected young males without any risk factors and occurred shortly after the second dose. What are your thoughts? Didn't see this discussed anywhere so far. Would have hoped Dr. Bean picked this up. I don't know who Dr. Bean is. You do. I don't know.
Yes, Dr. Bean. He gives medical lectures on YouTube.
All right. And here's a quote from page 133. Two cases of myocarditis were reported following exposure to Novavax, and 1 case was reported following exposure to placebo. In the post-crossover phase... Yeah, go ahead.
Might mean the adjuvant, if it's the adjuvant, the matrix M was the placebo. Hard to know.
In the post-crossover phase of the CHMP assessment report, studies blank, blank, and blank, blank, 3 cases of myocarditis were reported. In 1 case, myocarditis was reported with temporal association to Novavax, COVE, that's the shot. In the absence of alternative etiologies, A casual association with the vaccine cannot be excluded in this case. For the other cases, alternative explanations that could explain the event have been reported. Considering that myocarditis and pericarditis have been observed following other COVID-19 vaccines, it is considered that there is a scientific basis for suspicion of a casual relation, although this is not confirmed. It should be listed as important potential risk. Yes, I would say for sure it should. Spike protein is a spike protein. It just so happens that Novavax is only spike protein. No mRNA, no nanolipids, none of that stuff. Just the spike. The deadliest thing mankind has ever created.
Yep. And they don't let anyone tell you that they're harmless. The spike protein is harmless. It's not harmless.
I think we've made that case pretty damn clear. All right, go ahead and read the last one, if you would, please.
Okay. First dose. First dose three and a half weeks ago. Only a sore arm for a couple of days, nothing major. After the second dose, last Thursday, well, that's another story. Rashes on my arm and leg, nausea, shortness of breath, pains in the chest, aching joints, generally feeling like crap. 2 years I survived this pandemic unvaccinated with no health issues at all. Now I'm home from work in bed with pains in the chest, feeling pretty shitty to say the least. Get the vaccination. Everyone says you will be fine. What a crock of...
What is wrong with people? He's fine. 2 years, no problem. Why would he or she, I guess it's a he, go and get this? I don't understand it. A virus that has a 99.9975 or something survival rate with no treatment? That's the coronavirus? And here we are rolling out a new vaccine, alleged vaccine. It's a joke, which is made of the most dangerous thing that mankind has ever created, according to one extremely eminent South African physician.
Yeah, this is... All I can think of is the pressure they're putting on these people in various countries. Some it's pretty bad. And so they're just caving.
Well, don't worry. Klaus Schwab's top advisor says humans are hackable animals with no free will.
Right.
Don't worry. Be happy. Aye. All right. Well, we've got the page together for you. Just giving you an overview of the areas that the spike protein is notorious for causing grave problems already. We don't know what the longer term... We've only done this for a year, a little over.
I know.
So...
Yeah, the full extent of its damage, you know, it's still a question mark. But, you know, they're still trying to... What is it? Fauci was talking about a fourth or fifth booster? Was that it?
Fifth.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's see. What else did Fauci do today? He was in the news twice. He said, Americans should be ready for the possibility of a, quote, more rigid type of restriction. And the other story is, Fauci has... quote, absolutely nothing to hide, end quote, in congressional hearings. So he's not gone yet. He's fading, but he's still here, and he's still trying to scare people, I guess.
I can't imagine anyone still listening to him. I think he's played out.
I would think. Back to the time for a new person to take his place, so to speak. Let's see. Here, 16 cases of CJD prions declared just a few days after a COVID-19 vax bioweapon injection. 16 cases of CJD, mad cow disease, after just a few days from being injected. Now, this is a new thing. What do we have on this real quick? We'll talk more about this in the future.
Right. So this is, I would guess this is Luc Montagnier's last paper, published paper. Came out in February. It was presented, I believe, at a conference just this month, a neurology conference of some sort, I believe. So they have been noting these cases of CJD post-vax fairly quickly, within about 2 weeks. They've got the symptoms, and apparently they've confirmed it with whatever diagnostics they typically use, spinal tap or something. But it's very, very, very fast.
So these are observable changes in someone's mental acuity within 2 weeks.
Yes, and I am seeing that in the Creutzfeldt-Jakob support group that recently, or I would say within the past 6 months, there are a plethora of new reports of people having gotten the jab and declining rapidly.
That is suggestive that there's something new on the playing field.
Well, they're calling this, yeah, the title of the paper is A New Type of Creutzfeldt-Jakob Disease.
And before he died, Luc Montagnier was talked about in at least one story I saw as going into an entirely new and alarming area of research. And here's a paper on it, and here are the results, but Luc is gone.
Yeah.
The timing couldn't have been better for those in control. 16 cases of CJD, mad cow prion disease, declared just a few days after a COVID-19 vax bioweapon injection. So we'll track this for you Wednesday. So thanks, partner. Talk to you soon. And
okay.
Good job.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Have a good evening.
Okay. All right. Okay, we'll be back with Hour 3 in just a few minutes. Mitchell Henderson coming up next. See, this thing is so damn diverse, this spike protein, these injections, but especially the spike. It can do so many things to end a life. It is really horrific. Back with more in just a few. Hang on.